Good morning, church family. Could I just invite you to stand? Good morning to our online viewers. What a beautiful day it is today. Could we just pray? Father God, thank you that we can start the day in your name, Lord. Thank you that we can have peace with you, Lord. Thank you that you are just good. You are such a good, good Father. In the midst of everything going on around us, you remain good, you remain faithful. Thank you, Lord, that we can have this confidence that we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the word. Thank you that you're going to bless each and every one today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Church family, this morning we're going to sing a new song, and I just want you to be free and let loose and just enjoy singing the song and singing every word. So we are so excited, so let's go.
You were the word at the beginning. Yes, Lord, you are a great, great God. You are a good, good Father. We love you, Lord, and we love to praise you. We love to lift your name on high. We love to exalt you, Lord. You are so worthy of our praise. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord, and we thank you for every good gift, every perfect gift that comes from you, Father of lights. Thank you, Lord, that your word says you are light and in you there is no darkness at all. You are light and you are good. We exalt you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can exalt you and your promises, the truth of your word, higher than anything else today. And Lord, thank you that we can be reminded that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. All the miracles you did on earth, Lord Jesus, thank you that we can still experience those miracles, those healing miracles, financial breakthroughs, freedom. Thank you, Lord. Restoration in relationships. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible for you. There's no such thing as a hopeless situation with you. And we choose this morning to fix our eyes on you. Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to you. We trust in you. We focus on you, Lord. And we thank you for the freedom that you bring. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for abundant life that you came to give us, Lord Jesus. We choose to rejoice in you this morning. We choose to rejoice. We thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much to the worship team. It was awesome as always. Hey, praise God. Thank you to the media team. Really appreciate all of you. Thank you for all you do. Well, it's great to see you in church this morning. My name is Janu, for those of you who don't know me. And I'd like to welcome everyone watching online. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We love our online family. And then this morning, we'd like to give you an opportunity to give. And I want to read the words of Jesus that we find in Matthew 6:21. And Jesus said, "Therefore, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." One translation says, "Where the desires of your heart will also be." Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard people say before, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will also be." But Jesus actually said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart and the desires of your heart will also be." And we actually find a wonderful benefit of giving here. Because if we want the desires of our hearts to be in the kingdom of God, we need to put our treasure in the kingdom of God. And it actually shows us that we can direct the desires of our hearts by putting our treasure where we want our heart to be. So praise God, and I think it's just a great reminder that, you know, if we want our heart to be in something, let's put our treasure there, including our marriage, including relationships, but how much more the kingdom. Amen.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
Well, good morning, everyone. What a blessing to see you. All that wonderful good news from all the different parts of the world. Isn't it powerful what God can do from a place like Neisner, hey? And you guys are all part of it. So we thank you all for being so excited about the work of God. Pastor Steve and my wife, Andrea, and then Michael, they are there in South Sudan at the moment. We contacted Andrea last night over WhatsApp and we had a bit of a chat. And they are having a great time. They say they are challenged. The people are so hungry for the word, like they have to preach 3 times a day, like each, and just go for it. So we'll also keep them in our prayers as they are there. And so we're reaching out to South Sudan, we're reaching out to Europe in different ways. And then there's a man here that I want to pray for this morning. And his name is Zimba. Where is Zimba? Zimba is right here. And so Zimba is has been a faithful minister here in Knysna to his Malawian friends. And that has developed into what we call now the African service, where on Tuesdays they get together and there's wonderful things that's happening over there. And so, yeah, Zimba has been a big blessing. But Zimba is leaving and going back to Blantyre, his home city, in a week from now. And we as a church have seen him be faithful. We've seen him be a real, almost like an apostolic gift over his life, where he gets churches together and he gets rallies people together. We had an outreach yesterday there in Concordia, and he organized the whole thing. Obviously, I had to do all the building of the stage, and they helped me. So I'm like a tire today, so you guys must have some pray over me today. But we had a great time, and Zimba has been a friend of us in the ministry. And yeah, so we sending him off today as a church. So I'm going to just ask Yanu and Mama D to come up here, and we're going to be laying hands on him and praying for him. We're going to support him as a church, and we're going to keep contact with him, and we're going to see what God is going to do through them there in Malawi. Amen. So I think let's do this. I'm going to ask my brother Yanu to pray over him. I want to just say this. So yesterday I had a chat with Zimba, and he said he was in the dream. He had a dream, and he chatted in the dream to Yanu. And Yanu was standing far from him, and there was clay in the middle here. And as he was going on the clay, he was starting to slip. And then he had Yanu say to him, "Come on, Zimba, you can do this. You can do this. Go for it, Zimba." And so sometimes we need those supporters, those people that encourage us on the road when things get slippery. Amen. So Yanu, you can pray over Zimba, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Just before I pray, we don't have time to share it now, but just the way in which Zimba joined the church was a miracle. Alfred came, he was still at Caris at the time, and he came with an American team, and we did an outreach in Concordia, and Zimba joined that night. He got supernaturally healed of back pain, and he had a dream prior to that, and God told him to join our church. And so we just believe it's a God thing, it's a God idea for him to go back to Malawi, and it's a privilege for us to send you as a church. So let's just pray over you. Father, we just thank you for Zimba. We thank you for his life and the calling that you have on his life. We thank you for the blessing that he's been to our church and our community. And Lord, as he embarks on this new journey and this new season that you have for him now, we just thank you, Lord, that you go ahead of him. We thank you, Lord, that you will meet all of his needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for divine appointments, Lord. We thank you for leading and guiding him. And we pray as he abides in you that he will bear much fruit that will glorify you and glorify your kingdom. We thank you for all the people, Lord, that are going to be impacted and touched with your good news through his life and through his ministry. And we just thank you for winners as well that will join him, that will take hands with him and be a light in Malawi, be a light in Africa. And we thank you, Lord, that many people will come to know you because of his obedience and because he said yes to you. So we just bless him and his family. We thank you for your protection over him. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessing that's in him and goes before him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Do you have anything that you want to share?
So Zimba, I just got a special picture of Moses. And you know, his mom had to put him in that basket and send him off down the Nile. And what I feel is you feel that you've been sent alone, but actually God had such a plan, because the mother joins supernaturally in the story later and is with Moses for the rest of his life. And so I just feel God saying you are not alone, that you've not been sent with us without the support, that God is supernaturally going to give you the support, whether through us, through the body of Christ, that you are going to see God's supernatural support. Even though you're feeling you're going alone now, it's going to be a wonderful testimony as you step into this adventure and journey. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. You want to just say thank you to the family?
Okay, I want to just thank you, Nisner Vineyard Executive Committee, to allow me to be here. I'll be here since 2019, and I want to just I learned more things from you guys, and you was more part of my life, and so now I'm going to Malawi. I'm going to miss you guys, and totally miss you, and I miss your love. And we was together for a long time, so but God, he sent me there to do another job. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Zimba. Appreciate you, man. Wow, isn't God good? Amen. So Zimba's going to be connected there to Vineyard in Malawi. There's quite a few churches there already, and we're going to be connecting him there, and he's going to be working together with them. And so keep Zimba in your prayers and in your hearts, and we believe for a great Holy Spirit work that God is going to do there. Amen. And in the same way, as we're sending him off, that is our purpose with each one of you sitting here. Each one of us here have a ministry. Okay, a lot of people think it's only the guy up here on the stage, and that's not what ministry is about. Ministry is not about a mic. Ministry is about sharing the good news wherever you are and in whichever way God gives you the grace to do it. And so you have a ministry on your life. You know, some people here, you are connected to groups. You maybe live somewhere there at Buffalo's Bay or wherever, and you're connected to people there, and that is your ministry field. Don't think that it's anybody else's job but yours. And so we want to be empowering people to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Amen. And I hear so many wonderful testimonies from people in this church and how they have reached their neighbors, reached the people around them, and that's how people come into the kingdom. That's how things work. So this morning, I'm so excited to share with you, and we're talking about don't worry, be happy. And this can be a subject that can be difficult in people's hearts, although it sounds very light. Don't worry, be happy. But we've been trained how to worry. You know, I always say people say, no, I'm a prayer warrior, but you actually just worry all day and then you pray. And so you're more of a prayer warrior than you are a warrior, you know. So we get to that place where we live from a place of worry. And that's the world's way. That is not our way. Amen. It's not the way we are. We know how to live from a place of being carefree, and I'm going to be teaching that this morning to you, to walk in that carefree trust that God has for each one of us. And so here in James 4, I'm going to be reading these scriptures. Now, these scriptures used to condemn me. I didn't understand what they actually said. And if you read it from the wrong place, then they will condemn you. But I will just explain it to you as we go. So let's read this. And this is really showing us how to get out of a lifestyle of stressing and worrying and fighting in our hearts. So it says here in James 4 verse 1 in the ESV, it says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and obtain not, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, heavy words this morning. I'm not talking about you. This is James writing. It's not me, guys. Sorry. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Say with me, more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This scripture, really, the first verse there, talks about how the passions, they war within us. Because how many of you know that you have a born-again person in you living there right now that is desiring God and loving God? But then you have an unrenewed part of your mind that wants to do things in the world and the way the world trained you to do it. And so that's why we get into these quarrels and fights and we fight in ourselves. We're like, no, I don't fight with other people, but you fight within yourself trying to obtain in the world's way. And God has given us a better way. And so I want to just show you in the scripture that nowhere in the scripture does it say that God is your enemy. It says in the scripture that we become enemies of God through our way, through doing it. So that means in your heart, you can become God's enemy. You can miss out on the grace that God has so freely provided. But God, His part is to give more grace and more grace, to extend more love. And that's why it says here, the Spirit in you yearns jealously. It yearns for you to understand the ways of God. It yearns for you to understand the flow of grace so that you don't have to be bogged down and pulled down by the world's way. No, you can live in the freedom that Christ has paid for you to live in. And that's what it's about. This is not about condemning you, but this is about accessing the more grace. Say with me, the more grace.
More grace.
You want the more grace. You don't want a little drip of grace. There's more available for you. I don't want to live a life that is barren and unfruitful. I want to live a life where there's a free flow of grace. And that means we have to renew our minds to see how God operates and how He does things. Sometimes that means resisting the devil, resisting the thoughts that the devil puts in our minds, resisting that pattern of thinking that's from the enemy. And that's what we're going to teach you how to do this morning. So here in Jakobus 4 verse 6, julle Afrikaners is hierso, né? Hy sê, maar hy gee groter genade. Say with me, groter genade. Jo, you English people can talk groter lekker, hey? Yes. Daarom sê hy, God weerstaan nie hoogmoediges, maar aan die nederiges gee hy genade. So ek wil die groter genade hê, hey? I want the groter genade, I want the more grace. And so what happens here is when there's a free flow of grace, then it's like everything in your life will start experiencing that flow. But if you live from your own ways, your own strength, when you trust in your own understanding, you will start missing out. And so even before anything from God's side is in terms of resisting, before God, I say, so die hoogmoedige weerstaan. Before you are resisted in any way, you have entered into pride in your heart. You have done things the way of the world. And that's why we need to learn how to access God's way. And I'm going to teach you this morning, and it's going to be so easy. So don't worry about it, okay? Don't worry, be happy. So the first point that I want to make here today is grace reigns. I want to show you die groter genade. I want to show you God's great grace. So let's look at this. Romans 5 here in verse 13 to 14 in the NIV, it says, to be sure. Now, I want you guys to concentrate on this scripture. It's difficult to understand, but I'm going to make it very simple to you. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Now let's look at the first verse there. It says, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. What does that mean? Before the law came, sin was already in the world from the time of Adam. And then there was a whole, you know, in Genesis and all the chapters, you go through a whole period where you see death reigning in people's lives. So a lot of bad things happen. People still died. But why did that happen if it says here that sin was not imputed on people? There was no judgment for their sin because sin is not imputed where there is no law. It's not accounted against them where there's no law. So let's say here is Adam, right? And here's the fall. And so these guys were living. Sin was not imputed until the law. Let's say this is the law. So in this whole area here, there's no judgment for sin. Grace covered sin here, the deeds. But why did death reign then? Why did death reign in this time? Because the problem was not the deeds. They were covered by grace. The problem was that people had a sinful nature. They were unrighteous in their nature. So naturally, that unrighteous nature produced death in all kinds of ways. And the people thought, no, we're living good enough to actually be acceptable to God. So they didn't put one and one together, understanding that those deeds that are not being judged comes from a wrong nature. And that's why the law was given. The law was given so that the offense of Adam may abound. So that the offense of Adam could be seen, there's something wrong here. So before the law, people did a lot of sin. There was no judgment for it. But under the law, the first person that actually picked up sticks on the Sabbath day was stoned to death. Bad covenant, not a good covenant. That's why we have a better covenant with better promises in Hebrews 8. But so this was this. Now there was nothing wrong with the law in itself. The problem was people were sinful. They couldn't obey it. Okay, so now that's why from Adam until Moses, death reigned, even over those people who didn't do the same thing as Adam did. All right? Because it came from their nature. But here in Romans 5:20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is very powerful. It says the law entered, why? So that the offense, singular, the law came so that the offense, the single offense of Adam, might abound. So here under the law, suddenly people saw that our deeds are not judged, but there's a bigger problem. The moment their deeds got judged under the law, they realized, oh my goodness, we can't do this. There's a factory that is producing this. And then the factory was revealed. The sinful nature was revealed. And people for the first time saw that we have a big problem here. We need something more than the law to keep us at bay. And that is where the abundance of grace comes in. God gave them grace, not just to cover the deeds, but in the new covenant, we have a sinful nature destroying grace. Amen. It is a grace that takes away the sinful nature of man and gives him now something more than just grace that covers deeds. It now gives him a grace that covers his nature and the deeds. All of it. It's abundant grace. And that's what it says in Romans 5:17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundant grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You see, this grace is abundant because it now gives you a new nature. Your old nature is gone. I love that song that we sang in the first service. Gone is the person I used to be. The New Testament is not a recovery. It is a discovery. Amen. You're not recovering from an old person. You are a new person. You've just got to discover it. And we don't know who we are, and that's why we lack. That's why we struggle. That's why we ask in the wrong way and don't get. And that's what James was trying to say to them. God has more grace for you. But if we live outside of that grace in our ways, then we will not access it and not understand what God has given. And so God has put grace out there for you. It's available. Grace reigns. But God doesn't only want grace to reign like in the spiritual atmosphere. God wants it to touch your life. So second point, God wants grace to reign. R-A-I-N-S. He wants you to get wet from grace. He wants you to experience grace. And I've seen this in so many people's lives. They know what God has provided, but they don't know how to get a hold of it. And God wants you to get a hold of it. You know, I've seen this in my life in such supernatural ways. I mean, I remember this one time, me and my friend Cord, we're on a farm there. And, you know, the ostriches had this bird flu come through. You guys heard about that bird flu? And they literally slaughtered ostriches left, right, and center. I mean, basically all the ostrich farmers, ostriches were slaughtered in that area. Now, the chances that Korah was going to get that on his farm is like almost 100%, because he was probably the biggest ostrich farmer in that area. So percentage-wise, he had far more ostriches than anybody else, like 4,000 ostriches. So those things get carried by ducks and birds into that farm. You can't stop it in any way, like in the natural. But you know what? He said, hey, let's access more grace. He called me, he said, let's drive. We're going to take the Land Cruiser, and we drove on that farm. We drove from post to post across the borderline of that farm. We spoke to the ostriches, and we said to them, you know, it's weird to speak to an ostrich. Sorry, guys. But you think you three people are weird that speaks to trees, but, you know, we speak to ostriches as well. But so we went, and we spoke Psalm 91 over that camps, and we said, no plague shall come near this dwelling. You see, God's already provided healing for that farm, but we need to access that by faith. And so we said, no plague will come. You know what? On that farm, people slaughtered all the surrounding farms, even slaughtered their ostriches. Not a single ostrich got bird flu on that farm. All his ostriches went through. And that is the grace of God. It's what God has provided. And it works. You need to just believe it. And that's what grace is. Grace is abundant. It's already available. But you access it by faith. And so we have learned how to put an umbrella over our faith. And I'm going to show you right now how to get rid of it. Okay, so let's look at this. Grace reigns. James 4:6 speaks about more grace. Romans 5:17 speaks about abundant grace. And then it says here in 2 Peter 1 verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Multiplied grace. So we see here there's more grace available. There's abundant grace and there's multiplied grace. God wants to have a free flow in your life. He wants to multiply his grace, but you've got to access it by faith. And so one of the things that stops God's grace is worry. Okay, now it's getting very quiet in here. So I'm going to show you all about this. But, you know, this changed my life. These scriptures changed my life. I mean, this is one of the main things that God has done in my life, to have the grace of God start flowing in a supernatural way. So let's look at this. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 7. Likewise, you younger people, look at your neighbor and say, that's me. Submit yourselves to your elders. Say, that's you. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The same thing. So the grace is being resisted. And then it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Yana, can you quickly come hold my mic up here? I want to just show you this. So this first verse, it says here, likewise, you younger people, and it says, be clothed with him. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Hold this, that in due time he may exalt you. So if this is God's grace flowing, right? It's moving all the time, flowing strongly. The more grace is here. But you are up here in your pride. You are up here. You've lifted yourself up. You're following your ways. Can God get a hold of you? No, because you're up here. But the moment you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, God gets thrust on your life. And in due time, he lifts you up. You see, it's either you lifting you up, thanks, Yanu, or God lifting you up. But what do we want? We want the free flow of grace. Now, this first verse where it says God resists the proud, you've actually been proud before God has resisted anyone. You're the one that lifted yourself up with your worldly thinking. That's what James was talking about. But God has a better way for you. So what is the first thing? The first thing is you want to humble yourself. Why do you want to humble yourself? Because you need more grace. But the problem is people don't know how to humble themselves. They think, no, I must go lie on a mat somewhere and cry and just be like a nobody and then I'm humble. That's not humility. It's not humility. Now, it's going to show us how to humble ourselves. So the first thing is the why. Why? Because you don't want to resist the grace of God. You want to be humble. Why? Because you don't want to resist the grace of God. Then it's the what. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up. But people miss the how. Here's the how. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. How do you humble yourself? Casting all your care upon him. Humility, casting your cares. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Indeed, he will lift you up, casting, throwing it as far as you can. Get it out of my life. I'm not a worrier anymore. Now, question. If worry is, if casting your care is humility, according to the scripture, if humbling yourself is casting your care, what is holding onto your care then? Pride. You see that? The opposite of humility. So every time we worry, we're actually saying to God, I can handle this in my own strength. I've got this, God. Okay, don't look at your neighbor. Just keep on looking at me. Ladies, no bumping your husbands. Husbands, no bumping your wives. We all do this, okay? Don't feel guilty. But the fact is, if you keep on doing it, you're not accessing grace. You're not having the more grace flow through your life. And so how are you going to cast your care if you don't worry first? You see, so you have to worry to cast it. So it happens to all of us. But the fact is, you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of that worry. You got to throw it on God. And the thing is here, that worry creates like an umbrella so that grace cannot rain. So I wrote you on the screen for you. Grace rains on you when you remove the umbrella of worry. Now, why do we worry? Look at the next part that I wrote. Worry is our safe place against that underlying sense of condemnation. You see, Ty Edgar explained it so well. He said that anxiety that is in your life is actually a root, and we doctor it with worry. That anxiety is there, and it is there for a reason, because you're thinking like, man, I'm actually not good enough to receive from God. You're in a place in your heart where you're thinking like, man, I've done this or I've done that. Look, what a stupid idiot I've been again. Or you condemn yourself in some or other way. It creates an anxiety in your heart, and there's no freedom that looks good on you in that space. And then you actually start worrying. Some people doctor it with other things. They start blaming other people. They start judging other people. They enter into this place of judgment and condemnation. We've all been there. I'm saying they, let's say us, you know, we've all been there. But when we cast our cares, we are exposing our anxiety to God. We are showing our hearts to God. When we throw our cares, that which doctors the anxiety, onto God, now we're exposed before God. Here I am, Lord, with my filth, with my stupid. And because we don't want to do that, then we run to the world to doctor that for us. Let me just go watch a movie. Let me just go watch a feel-good movie. Let me just let me just judge somebody else because I don't want to deal with this now. Let me just be angry with my husband or my wife. Let me go drink alcohol, doctor it with lust. Whatever you want to use to doctor that anxiety doesn't take it away. That anxiety is still there. And we need to learn how to put that before God. So what do you do with that anxiety? What do you do with that? Now you're exposed. You're not a worrier anymore. You know how you do it? The word explains it clearly. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You see, this abundant grace has provided for you for your times of weakness. This abundant grace has a package that includes mercy and it includes the power to overcome it. So mercy, yeah, that's the first thing you're going to find at the throne of grace. Mercy is to show you are okay with me, with God, in your weakness. So that's your deeds covered because you've been stupid like all of us, but grace has covered your deeds. Mercy is to show you that even if you just did that or worried or have been like that, I'm okay. Mercy extends God's favor to you independent of your goodness. But then that grace that you find in at the throne of grace is where God now reveals to you your true nature and you receive the power to overcome that, to overcome those emotions. And that is really where the nature is covered. Grace has covered your deeds, and grace has covered the wrong nature in you. You see, so God has first to deal with the deeds and say, hey, I know you've been stupid. I know you've done this. And you're worrying and you're stressing. But hey, I've done this for you. I've covered all of that. And now suddenly you have an open door. You can come boldly and say, God, show me who I am. I want to rediscover my true me in my spirit. And when you do that, you'll get the grace to overcome, grace to help in your time of need. Hey, guys, we need the gift of righteousness, but we also need the abundance of grace to reign in this life. Amen. And that is my heart. Man, I see so many Christians struggling, not understanding what Jesus has provided, living in a space of worry continually. Where God says, hey, gooi dit op my. Gooi dit op my. Ek het meer genoeg brood, breeskouers. I've got broad enough shoulders for you to throw whatever you want to throw at me. There's abundance of grace at the throne of grace. Amen. And so this grace also reigns. Third point. R-E-I-N-S. I'm gonna thank all you English people for spelling lessons today. But you know, the first point was add a G in there. And that means reigns like a king reigns, because grace does reign. But we need to access grace by throwing our cares on God and let it flow. But reigns, this reign is where it talks about like you rein in a horse. You keep it at bay. A lot of people don't realize that they can actually keep their emotions at bay. They can rein in their hearts. And you can actually live in a place in your heart where your heart doesn't have the right to just run off with you, free flow. You can live there. And here in Hebrews 5, in verse 13, it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But that says, when you are still unskilled in the word of righteousness, people haven't taught you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, apart from your good works, apart from your goodness, you're righteous with God because he has declared you righteous by faith. Now, when you live there, then you are righteous. So that says you have to be skilled in the word of righteousness. And then verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can exercise your heart to discern when an emotion is from the flesh or when an emotion is from the spirit. You can start discerning in your heart from a place of righteousness when it's from the flesh or the spirit. You've got that strength in you. You can know when it's from God, you can know it's from the devil. And that worry is not from God. It is from your flesh trying to fix things in your own strength. That's not who we are. We have learned to guard our hearts because out of it flows the issues of life. Amen. We want the good issues to flow out of our hearts, not the bad issues, not those people with issues. We want to be those who have a free flow of grace. And the word promises that in due time, he will exalt you. He will lift you up in Jesus' name. So let's stand on our feet this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for your free flow of grace. Lord, there's such a hunger for truth in this place. And we just standing in that place, Lord, right now where you serve us, Father. Lord, where we have doctored our anxiety and our feelings of condemnation with worry and judgment. And Father, that's not us anymore. That's not who we are. We have discovered a freedom reign person inside of us. A person that is experiencing your abundant life. And Father, I thank you that that person that is living in each one of your children is free. Is free. And so right now, Lord, if there is worry and care that has taken hold of your children's hearts, we're saying no to that right now. Worry, you will not bug me anymore. I will not use you to doctor my anxiety anymore. I'm exposing my heart before God, and God is saying to me, I'm okay with your filth. I'm okay with your, well, stupidity. I'm okay with you not being good enough, but I'm going to give you power to overcome. I'm going to give you grace in your time of help. grace to overcome. So, Father, I thank you that this morning as we look at our new spirit, our new man, Lord, that you give us answers. You give us a way out. You show us, Lord, the way to conquer this mountain of worry and stress. I thank you, Lord, that the answer is in your peace. In your peace. So, Father, I just speak your peace right now over hearts. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that we are free from that. Free from that anxiety. Free from it. We cast it upon you, never to come back again. Thank you for your freedom. That it rains on our hearts this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made a commitment to Jesus as your Lord. We are also, a lot of us are saved here, most of us, but maybe you are standing here saying, I've never made Jesus my personal Lord. I've never been saved. I also want this abundance of grace that you are talking about. I want that gift of righteousness. If that is you, wherever you are, you can just put up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. If that is you, just be brave enough to put up your hand so that I can pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're watching online and you're saying, hey, I want this gift. I want righteousness. Let's pray together with this wonderful people that lifted up their hands this morning. Let's pray this as a congregation in agreement with them. Thank you, Jesus, that you are Lord. I agree this morning with abundant grace that it is mine. And I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my replacement. My sin I put on you. My old nature is yours. I receive the gift of righteousness. And I thank you that today I am clean, I am holy, and that you have covered me with your wings for the rest of my life. I praise you, God. I'm your child. You are my Father. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that was you, I want to encourage you to come speak to me afterwards. There's also a wonderful ministry team. If anybody needs more ministry this morning, you're welcome to go to the ministry team. They're going to pray with you, and they're going to just stand in agreement with you. Except for that, you're going to be enjoying a wonderful cup of coffee now with us. It's so great to have you here. And always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved.